You are Locked On Giants, your daily podcast on the New York Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, along with co-host Pat Traina of Inside Football, The Athletic, and a host of other places. How you doing today, Patty?
I'm great, Ed. We're one day closer to the draft. Need the weather to kick in and have some spring weather, but pretty soon we're going to get our answers.
Patty, our show today is going to involve a special guest. We have Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus joining us. Let's get right to it. Let's bring Steve on. Steve, how are you today?
Doing great. Thank you guys for having me.
Patty, why don't you get us started here? Steve, we'll trade questions back and forth for a few minutes here. Talk a lot of Giants. Talk a lot of the upcoming draft, and hopefully by the end of our conversation, we'll have all the answers as to what the Giants are going to do.
Sounds perfect.
Good luck with that, Steve. Okay. Steve, I want to start off by, first of all, for those not aware of what Pro Football Focus is, it's obviously it's an analytical site, very good information on there. With that said, I've got to ask you a question here about the value of a quarterback versus the value of a running back, considering there are different stats, different analytics, and I'd like to know, how would you – and if you were drawing up a value board, how would you determine whether to put, either a Saquon Barkley, one of the quarterbacks, a Bradley Chubb, a Minka Fitzpatrick? How would you stack it up based on what criteria?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'd say in a vacuum, the quarterback position is in a different stratosphere compared to running back as far as value goes. And then the question becomes, okay, well, it depends on which quarterback. So if we're talking about a quarterback that can be, say, a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, and that general top 15 term, Eli's been in that for a big chunk of his career, and that top 15 any given year can become top 5 or it could become top 20. So it fluctuates a little bit, but the high-end quarterbacks are so far and away more valuable than a running back, and it pretty much the NFL's all about the pass game when it comes to value. So it's quarterbacks, it's pass catchers, it's pass rushers, it's pass blockers, and it's coverage defenders. Those are your most valuable guys, and that's what kind of pushes running back down the board, unless you have a guy that can truly affect the pass game. So, that's why you have a guy like Saquon Barkley talked up at the top of the draft, but even then, really difficult for any running back to provide the same type of value as even just a average to good quarterback from just a pure value basis in the NFL.
So, Steve, when you look at that, obviously the Giants, are considered, a team that could easily take, Saquon Barkley at number two. When you look at the choice that the Giants have to make, and you look at, the quarterbacks that are in this class, do you look at the quarterbacks that are in this class as at least one or two of them as guys that are worthy of that first or second overall pick?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's probably three guys that I'd be pretty happy with. Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma, a guy that we've been pounding the table for quite a bit at PFF just because his production has been incredible, but it's more than just a stat thing. It's his production in the right areas that we think translate at the next level. So big fans of Baker Mayfield. I'm a big fan of Sam Darnold from USC. I think the stuff that he does from an NFL projection standpoint is just outstanding. Some of the special throws that he can make, the short area accuracy, certainly needs to improve the decision-making that, took a step back last year on film. And I think Josh Rosen, I think there's a path to him becoming that quarterback that you can win with. It very much in that Eli or maybe Jameis Winston type of mold where the highs are high, but there's also some really ugly stuff on tape as well. So if you get that run of the highs, he can kind of carry a team would be my best way of describing it. So I think those three guys I feel pretty comfortable with at the top of the draft. And because of that, I think, where Eli is in his career, where he's been an average to subpar quarterback these last few years, I think the Giants must get a quarterback, especially over any running back, even as much as I do like Saquon Barkley as a prospect.
Steve, in terms of value, you know, you mentioned, you know, that a quarterback might have a little bit more value than, say, a top running back. But in terms of the draft class and the depth at each position and the value that comes with each position, how would you stack up, like, your top three or four positions in terms of where there's really good depth and where maybe the Giants can afford to, for example, wait on a back until day two or day three?
Yeah, so that's the other argument against Barkley at the top. The running back class is probably as deep as any position in this draft. So you're talking about guys like Ronald Jones from USC, Rashad Penny from San Diego State, who we love, Nick Chubb from Georgia, Sony Michel from Georgia, Darius Geis from LSU. We're talking about all these other guys who could be, you know, mid, late first round picks or, you know, probably there on day two in the second round, who are all productive players. You compare that to a position like quarterback, and it's extremely top-heavy because of the value and because, you know, there's probably five or six guys with potential first-round grades there. So I do think running back is an extremely deep class. You know, I think cornerback is a place where you can get some value on day two, maybe safety a little bit too. So, there's a couple positions that are deep. Wide receiver is a nice place to get some day two value. But, yeah, running back's right in there. So, again, that Barkley argument, I think, is hurt once again. Not saying you can get a comparable player to him, but the drop-off between Barkley and the rest from a value standpoint is not that drastic.
Steve, the one guy, when you were talking about quarterbacks, the one guy that's generally considered in the top four, you know, that you didn't mention is Josh Allen. And we know, you know, that Allen, you know, has the completion percentage issues. I have to ask you about Allen. He's visiting, you know, with the Giants today, is my understanding. And when I think about Allen, when I think about the general scouting reports that say he needs time to sit, he needs, you know, a team that'll have patience with him, and he needs a good quarterback coach, I think of the Giants, and I'm not recommending that they draft him, but I think of the Giants as potentially a good landing spot for Josh Allen. Just give us your thoughts on Josh Allen and what kind of NFL quarterback you see there.
Yeah, I mean, Allen is kind of the hot button issue right now. I mean, it's tools wise, I can see why the NFL loves him. I mean, he caught my eye early in 2016. I feel like I was at the beginning of the hype machine because he's got this cannon for an arm. He can make throws on the run. I was watching late night Wyoming football, and this guy's making 55-yard passes on the run, putting it right where he wants. I mean, so the high-end play is just really spectacular from Allen. The problem there, though, is, you know, the velocity, it can get overrated, right? You know, the NFL quarterbacks, you just need this baseline of good arm strength and that you can work with. The fact that he has the best velocity probably since Cam Newton, it's good, but it's not the most important thing at the next level. So the places where he needs to improve, you know, pre-snap recognition, post-snap recognition, is just general accuracy and ball location and placement. The fact that he doesn't always want to take the concept that's in front of him, and he does like to break out of the pocket and out of the top quarterbacks in this draft. He actually has had the most dropbacks outside of the pocket last season, more than Lamar Jackson, more than Sam Darnold. So to me, those are the question marks. The stuff that he's really good at, some of those outside-the-pocket plays, the broken plays, the creativity that he has, they make up 5 or 10% of NFL plays, and I need him to be better at the 80%, the 90% of NFL plays, which is going through progressions, making the right read, and throwing the ball accurately. So there's a major, major question mark there, and I don't know if the upside is truly there, like people think. I don't think upside is really, here's a guy with a fast arm, we just have to teach him accuracy and, you know, pocket movement and handling pressure. Those are the most difficult things to actually learn at the next level. So I have some major question marks about Allen, and it's not to say that I hate him. I like him as maybe a late first developmental type of guy or an early second, but I wouldn't take him in the top five, especially not with a few of those other quarterbacks on the board, because he has all of this upside that people talk about. He has a long way to go just to be as good as Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, or Baker Mayfield. And I think that's just a massively risky proposition.
Steve, my question is about the defensive side, because as you all know, the Giants Betcher is their defensive coordinator. He runs a base 3-4, although you can probably make the argument that the base is the nickel, since most teams are in it, you know, at least 60% of the time anyway. But when we look at the 3-4 and versus the 4-3, and Betcher, who has described his defense as being multiple, as being the pressure package, it just looks to me like the Giants have a lot of needs on that side of the ball. So when you look at guys on the defensive side of the ball, guys that are multiple, you know, I call them gadget players because they can do more than one thing. And I'm thinking in terms of like a Minka Fitzpatrick, who can be a slot guy, who can play safety, maybe play a little on the outside. What kind of value do you see, you know, maybe in the top, I don't know, maybe the first two rounds where the Giants might be able to pluck a guy at a position on the defensive side that can, you know, really fit into that scheme and be what I call a gadget guy?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking guys in the secondary like a Fitzpatrick, I'll add Derwin James from Florida State to that conversation. If you're talking about those guys that can play slot, play some safety, play the run, rush the passer, all those things, first off, I think Derwin James is a top five type of player in this draft because he can do all those things well, with Minka Fitzpatrick maybe a touch behind him. I think both of those guys are just perfect fits for what the NFL needs right now to combat the versatility on offense, where you have tight ends moving around formations and you have slot receivers who are difficult to cover. I think those guys can do that. They can play the run like linebackers. They can rush the passer. So the Derwin James, Minka Fitzpatrick, both really fit that mold. I mean, if you're talking about front seven players now, maybe that can move around a little bit. I know Bradley Chubb has been, you know, discussed pretty heavily with the Giants, but I think Harold Landry from Boston College is actually a better pure pass rusher, but also a guy that kind of fits that base 3-4. So it might only be a handful of snaps that he has to do it, but he does kind of have that 3-4 outside backer body type where he could drop into coverage in a little bit and, you know, set the edge if he's got a little bit of help inside from the big defensive ends that you generally have in the 34. But you also have just a better pure pass rusher than Bradley Chubb. I'd say the other guy that comes to mind is Rashawn Evans from Alabama, more of a late first, early second potential target, where he started out his career as a pure edge rusher at Alabama, but then started to play some traditional linebacker. If you think what Jamie Collins was able to do for New England and the way they've used maybe Dante Hightower in New England, those are guys that can play your traditional linebacker roles. But then on third down, they're movable chess pieces that can rush the passer. You isolate them on running backs, and they're excellent pass rushers. They can drop into coverage a little bit. I think Evans has some of that versatility that he can add to the linebacker core and in the front seven.
Steve, we know that that Dave Gettleman, you know, has the reputation for really loving his offensive linemen. You know, he always uses the term, you know, hog mollies. I want to ask you about, you know, some of the second, third, maybe fourth round offensive linemen, you know, guys that you think, you know, might be really, you know, guys that the Giants could target, you know, who could be sort of, you know, plug and play kind of guys maybe on the right side of that line for them.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at tackle, you know, I think a guy like Jamarco Jones from Ohio State could be available early second. I really don't know where the NFL has him slotted. We feel pretty good about him. Maybe as an early second round type of tackle. You have a guy like Terrell Crosby out of Oregon, who's an excellent run blocker. Just never really had those pure pass sets in college. But you know, both internally here at PFF, the way the grading is kind of pushed into the forefront, but also talking to some offensive line coaches, you know, they know that he might be a bit of a project, but if he hits, he could be an excellent pass protector and a really good value, maybe late second or into the third. If you're looking at guard, you've got guys like Wyatt Teller, who I don't think is getting a whole lot of hype out of Virginia Tech, who just had four excellent years of production in our play-by-play grading system at PFF. And then Braden Smith of Auburn, you know, two guys that we have as just late second-round guards that I think can step in, who are excellent run blockers, solid in pass protection. And, yeah, I think this interior offensive line class, I don't know how many guys end up going in the first, because you're talking about guys like Isaiah Wynn out of Georgia, Will Hernandez out of UTEP, Frank Ragnow out of Arkansas. we have them all as first-round players, but if any of those guys drop to the early second, they would be outstanding value picks for the Giants. Ragnow, a personal favorite over here at PFF, two straight years as our top-graded center out of Arkansas, playing in a pro-style system, did it in the SEC West against really good defensive linemen, and we think he's a first-round player, but if he's there at the top of the second, he could play center, he could play guard, and he might be one of the most underrated offensive linemen in this entire class.
Steve, I want to ask you about Eli Manning for a moment here, since, you know, the raging debate is, you know, do they take a quarterback now or do they wait? You know, the Giants have already committed to having Manning as their starter for 2018, and Pat Shurmur has been quoted as saying that Manning has years, plural, left in his arm. When you look at him, though, is it a matter of, you know, the last few years, is his performance more a result of his skills starting to decline, or the talent, maybe, you know, especially up front, and the lack of a running game, did that have maybe more to do with his numbers declining?
Well, there was certainly a lot of pressure on him between the, you know, literally and figuratively, between the offensive line and the running game. But I think, especially in 2016, his arm did not look good at all. And I know that was the year that they won all the games, right? But that was the worst grade we've given him since, let me see, 2006. That was the lowest grade we've seen from Eli since 06, that 2016 season, despite all of the Giants' wins. You know, that was your classic case of, let's throw a two-yard slant to Odell Beckham, who outruns the defense, and boom, here's a 70-yard touchdown. So we certainly thought that Eli had a rough 2016. He was a little bit better last year. I was actually impressed with some of his red zone accuracy. And, you know, he's a guy that I think can still get the job done to a point. But realistically, we're looking at a guy in the PFF play-by-play grading system, 0 to 100 scale. He has not graded over 80 since 2012. And those were two spectacular seasons he had in 2011 and 2012. But since that point, it's been high 70s, low 70s, mid-70s. And that's pretty much what he is at this point. I think he's a guy that's in the, you know, the 20th, the 25th. Last year he was the 28th best quarterback in the NFL by our numbers. So I think that is what he is at this point, and a guy that you need to have that perfect group of playmakers around him. And it looked like they were in a great position to do that last year with Odell Beckham, with Brandon Marshall. We love Sterling Shepard. They add Evan Ingram as a mismatch guy. So he's one of those guys I think just needs to have this perfect ecosystem around him, and maybe he could put up good numbers. But when you don't have that, as he has the last couple of years, you're going to get subpar quarterback play. So I just think that's where he is at this point in his career. And the Giants are sitting there at number two with first round, you know, top five legitimate quarterbacks on the board. That's why I just think it's a must that they get somebody, because you never know when you're going to be picking in that top five again with a good group of quarterbacks available.
Steve, last question from me. Obviously, you know, we've talked about quarterback, we've talked about Eli, we've talked about the draft class. Giants fans continue, you know, to talk about and wonder about, you know, the young guy that's already on the roster, that being Davis Webb. And, of course, there's no NFL film, there's no NFL grading, you know, for you guys to look at, but in your system and in your mind, does PFF see Davis Webb as a viable option, you know, as a starting NFL quarterback for the Giants, you know, either next year or down the road?
Yeah, I look at Webb because we have all this college grading and everything to look at. We had him as about a fourth or fifth round pick last year, and obviously not much to change our opinion on that, you know, because like you said, there's not really any NFL film. The statement I'll use is Davis Webb, whether he pans out or not, he's certainly not going to keep me from grabbing one of these top quarterbacks. I think all of these quarterbacks all appear to be better players than Davis Webb, right? You know, coming out of college and likely right now. Webb was a guy who graded okay in our college system, right? You know, middle of the pack in the entire country when he came out in 2017 last year. A guy who had his ups and downs at Cal. After transferring from Texas Tech, he looked really good early in the season, had a midseason slump where he looked terrible. I see the arm talent. I can see some of the special throws he can make. It's just that the footwork looked like something that he really needed to work on. Just down-to-down accuracy was subpar compared to all the quarterbacks in the draft class last year and this year. So the thing about Webb is there's just a long way to go. And he's certainly not a guy that's going to keep me from taking Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, or even a couple of the other guys if they're available early second, like a Mason Rudolph. So that's kind of where we stand on Webb. You know, a guy that I think would need a bit of developmental time, and I'm not gonna take Saquon Barkley just because I have Davis Webb waiting in the wings to maybe take over for Eli Manning. I think it's just far too much of a risk.
Steve, last one from me. I've got to ask about Ereck Flowers. I know Giant fans are generally not high on him. I don't believe you guys have been high on him. He's now facing the prospect of having to earn a job at right tackle, something, you know, quite honestly, I thought should have been the plan all along, but, you know, unfortunately circumstances didn't allow for that. Do you think that maybe Ereck Flowers is a better fit for the right side, given what you know about, you know, his footwork, given what you've seen with his hand punch and his placements, and also knowing about the challenges about, you know, suddenly going from one side to the other? I mean, how do you see that kind of playing out?
Yeah, so I've actually for years been kind of pounding the table for left tackle and right tackle are of equal value. And other than, you know, it is a challenge for offensive linemen to switch from one side to the other. But if you look at where the best pass rushers are in the NFL, from Von Miller, Joey Bosa, you've got Khalil Mack, you've got Justin Houston, Cameron Wake. I mean, there are elite, unbelievable pass rushers that right tackles have to go up against every year or every week. And the blind side thing is really overrated because it depends on, you know, if the quarterback's looking to his left, his blind side is now being protected by the right tackle if his read is to the left. So honestly, I don't know that it's a better fit. We're talking about a guy that's had three really subpar grades in our system. I know Giants fans aren't happy with him. So I think it's a big stretch to think that Ereck Flowers is, you know, all of a sudden going to be better at right tackle because punch and kick step and all that stuff. I mean, it still comes down to you got to block the guy in front of you, and he just does not have a good track record of doing that at a high level. So I do think it's a position that the Giants need to continue to keep an eye out for. And, you know, I like the Nate Solder signing. I think he's certainly a huge upgrade from Flowers on the left side. But, yeah, moving to the right side, certainly not going to just change Ereck Flowers' fortunes overnight. And if anything, it's just as challenging as the role that he had to face on the left side. So certainly a position the Giants, I think, still need to take a look at.
Steve, before we let you go, why don't you take a second to tell people about the Pro Football Focus draft guide and about you know, where they can reach you on Twitter and things like that?
Yeah, appreciate it. I'm at @PFF_Steve on Twitter, and our draft guide is a part of our PFF Edge package over at ProFootballFocus.com. So you sign up for Edge, you get 365 days of access, and the draft guide, which is over 500 pages on this draft class, is just a fraction of what you get for everything within the Edge package. You get our first ever QB annual, which is over 500 pages of breaking down all the NFL quarterbacks and in ways that nobody ever has, plus a bunch of our fantasy tools, our player grades. It's all a part of the Edge package. Or you have the PFF Elite package, where we just put our premium stats back on the market. That was the thing that put PFF on the map a few years ago. We had to pull it back, but it's all part of Elite. And, yeah, I think it's our fun way of just taking all of our stuff, rolling it into two simple packages, and just trying to add a ton of value for the draft, the NFL, fantasy, or whatever you're looking for.
Steve, we appreciate
awesome
your
stuff,
time.
Steve.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on. And folks, that draft guide alone is worth the price.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me.
All right, take care, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
If you or a loved one lived, worked, or visited Lower Manhattan in the months after the 9/11 attacks and have been diagnosed with cancer, federal benefits and health care may be available. Attorney Eddie Markowitz has helped many families recover substantial benefits from the September 11 Victims Compensation Fund. The James Zadroga Health and Compensation Act has been extended, but time is limited. Attorney Markowitz is proud to serve as counsel to the Zadroga family. Let him help you too. These benefits are not just for rescue workers, but for anyone who qualifies. The fund covers many cancers, including prostate, skin, lung, and breast. Please call 1-833-LAW-HELP. That's 1-833-LAW-HELP to see if you qualify. All right, Patty, lots of interesting, useful nuggets there from Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus. Any quick initial thoughts on anything that Steve had to say?
You know, I remain fascinated by the different opinions we have been reading about and we've been getting from the guests that have popped on the show with us. It continues to be a lack of a consensus amongst, you know, which quarterbacks are the best, you know, whether or not the Giants should go quarterback or running back. It's just it's a really fascinating time of year, and you know, certainly, you know, Pro Football Focus, I know I use them in my analysis. I know you use them. Their stat work is really, you know, you can't find any better out there, and their draft guide, like you said, is tremendous. But it's going to really be interesting because, like I said, it just seems like everybody whom you ask has a different opinion.
It is fascinating, Patty, and what I have written, you know, what I've written at Big Blue View and the way that I look at this draft is that there are so many different options that the Giants have that for me, you know, and you and I have debated quarterback versus position player, you know, versus Barkley or Chubb or whoever. We've debated it a bunch of times. For me, there's only one answer to what the Giants do at number two that would be the wrong answer. And for me, that's if the quarterback that they have as their top-rated quarterback is available at number two, I think it would be a mistake for them to pass. But you can make an argument if it's the second-rated quarterback on their board, if the first one goes to Cleveland, then you take, you know, Saquon Barkley. You can make an argument for Bradley Chubb. I think when you had Emory Hunt on the other day, he made an argument for Minka Fitzpatrick. You can make an argument for Quentin Nelson if you really want to. You can make, you know, a good argument for trading down. So there's a lot of ways that the Giants could go here, and none of them really are necessarily, you know, incorrect.
Yeah, that's, again, that is the beauty of the draft. But, you know, I'm telling you, the draft is about a week away, actually 8 days away from starting, and I, for one, can't wait to see how it all plays out because, you know, you can sit here and you can analyze and overanalyze, and it gets to the point where you just, you know, what's that old saying, paralysis by analysis, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just so many different ways, and, you know, by the way, kudos to the Giants because so far they've done a very good job of creating smoke screens, and, you know, there hasn't been any leaks. I remember, you know, in the past, around this time in years past, we would have a better idea as to who they're picking. So it truly will be like a surprise. And you know, I have to admit, this is kind of different, but I'm looking forward to seeing what they unwrap on draft day.
As am I, Patty. And with that said, I think we will call it a show for today. Giants fans, we always appreciate your listening. And, you know, please check out Big Blue View and check out Patty's work at Inside Football and a host of other places. And we will be talking to you again soon. All right. Bye-bye now.